Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, Gazette Hawkeyes reporter John Steppy. Excited to welcome back Gary Mayab, associate head coach for Iowa Women's Wrestling. Gary, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, absolutely, for having us. We appreciate all of your work and the way that you get the word out, so we appreciate it.
It's been obviously the college season has been done for a little while, but it's been a eventful and a very productive last few weeks between U.S. Open and Senior Pan Am. Let's start with U.S. Open, three national champions. I guess hard to get too much better than that.
No, you're right. Obviously Macy was sitting out to just go straight to Final X, but to have, Kennedy, Kylie, and Brianna do what they did, and just great weekend, absolutely. And then two more All-Americans with Ava Bayless, who then went to right away, like 4 days later, went to Pan Am's and got third there. And then Emily Frost did a great job, wrestled her way through a really competitive bracket and All-American. And then now she is heading to Louisville today, along with Naomi Simon and Coach Chun and Coach Yan. So very exciting.
And then to have the Pan Am success, it's like I need a chart to remember all the champions here. but with Pan Am's, with Kylie, Kennedy, and Macy all having success there, kind of how helpful is that for the program to have that success kind of really on the world stage?
Well, it always is. International wins are great wherever they are. You know, like the semifinal that Kylie had was an Olympic fifth place finisher. And she really handled that bracket all the way through. I mean, she wrestled three matches and really was pretty much untouched. Kennedy wrestled four matches, pretty much untouched, and then having Macy do the same thing. And so just, her three matches, I mean, she finished one of them in 22 seconds. So really, they are on top of their game right now, doing very well. And what's awesome is that they trained right up through to it, because this is not where we're trying to peak, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they did a phenomenal job, absolutely.
And then for somebody like Naomi, who it seems like had a really tremendous freshman season, of what are you looking to kind of see from her this weekend in Louisville?
Well, I mean, honestly, she's going to be in the thick of things. We really do believe that. And there's great competitors there. There's three that are, really super solid athletes. And they've won titles before. And so, but Naomi has proven this year that she can fit in that mix. And it will be, I think this will be a great test for her. And I also believe that there'll be some successes here.
And then kind of looking back at the college season, obviously hard to get much better than 15 All-Americans. Kind of what stood out to you most about this group in the 2024-25 season?
I think just, they know how to do business. They really do. They understand what is in front of them. They focus on what is in front of them. They don't tend to go beyond that. They're looking at the match that is on now, and whatever the next point is. And they're after to go set those up for hopefully future success. But it has been, they're amazing. The way that they do business and the way that everyone works together, 15 All-Americans is ridiculous. It's pretty awesome. And for them to do that in the way that they do it, our lowest finish was seventh, and we had one of those, but it was throughout the whole tournament, they just rose to the next challenge. We had a year ago, we went 9-for-9 in the semifinals. And then we turn around, we walk out this year, and we lose the first four. And, it's always so much of being a champion is about the other key word that starts with a C, and that's character. And you get to find and discover the character that they have, and their character is strong. And what they did is they marched back through on the backside and took care of business and made sure their team moved forward. So just hats off to all of our women. They are, and it's not just those 15 that represented us. Obviously it's the 32 that was in the room. So we're so fortunate.
With those semifinal losses, I remember kind of what I was thinking in the media section there. Were you nervous at all at that point?
Well, I think that any time that, you know, this group of student athletes, they don't lose that often. And when you take a few losses like that, it's going to turn everybody's head. And the question is, where do they come out on the backside of getting their head turned? And what they did is they turned right back around, went right back to work. And again, I think it comes down to they operate the same. It's just the next match now. And no one wants to go to the backside, especially coming out of the semis. You believe that you're in that to win it. And then all of a sudden you take that loss that you weren't expecting. And then now you have very little time to revamp and go back the other direction. And so they got to work and they turned around, went right back to what they do. And they took it one match at a time and they controlled the controllables. So that part of it, we thought they're capable of it. It's always one thing to practice. It's another thing to perform it. And they certainly performed it.
It seemed like this year, maybe it's just me, but it seemed like the depth really across the country at the college level was a lot better. Kind of, what do you attribute that to, and how much more of a challenge is it when kind of the competition everywhere is getting more difficult?
You hit it. It is rising at a rate that is scary. It's they do such a good job of prepping and attacking each other. The defense has gone up. You're not seeing some of the march over wins that you had in the past. And what's crazy is in the last 3 years, it has changed exponentially. And so for us, we look at it that what we think is happening, obviously, is the work that has been done at the national level, Coach Steiner, his staff, USA Wrestling, that group, they've put together people that when these athletes are on U17, U20, U23, and senior level teams, they're getting the best coaching in the world. And I think that, and I say that because of volume, right? Mm-hmm. Japan obviously has the edge right now in the world. What they showed at Paris, that's true. But when you're looking at mass, like we're talking about, where they're hitting this lower level and the expectations are rising within these athletes. The other thing that's happened is there's a lot of coaches now that have jumped over. There's coaches that's been on the boys' side or the men's side all along, and now they've jumped over. And that's one. The other thing is that we have women now, like, and a great example of that is Marlon Dede, right? Marlon, she goes from being a great athlete, phenomenal person, to now coaching. And immediately you see differences there. And, you know, to hear Coach Short talk about her and how well she coaches now, and we thought that would happen, but it did happen. And that right there, I think, is where the women that have come out and now they turn right around and now they're giving back. That I think is the number one. That's the number one. These others that I talked about, those were the ones that I think set the platform to let it rise. But those people that are coming out right now, they've got it down. Like Coach Dede, I mean, she has it figured out. We were, you know, just now there's a young lady that just got through getting another transfer in at a university. It's going through right now, so I'll just let it go at that. But she's going to get this athlete, and now all of a sudden her program is going to rise. And so we're excited for everybody because it does make it. For us, I mean, you look at it that, you know, Menlo could come in this next year, and they had more All-Americans at Spokane than we did. So they did a great job with how well they've done in the past. And now them moving over to NCAA, that will be, that's another challenge.
With the move to NCAA and, you know, the question of, okay, 10 or 15, it seems like that maybe also is a challenge for you, where you were able to get a little bit of a margin for error with Kylie and Naomi, for example, at the same weight. Not that you're really expecting Kylie to lose, but you know, you have that backup plan at five of those weights. How does that kind of change things for you when you're possibly only going to be able to send 10 there?
Right. Well, you know, it will be a challenge, and it will be a challenge for the programs that have multiple All-Americans in their room. And we will, fortunately for us, have more All-Americans than we will have spots next year. And that right there does pose a challenge. And it poses a challenge to the athlete to start with. And that's the number one thing we have to manage. We have to manage how they feel and how they're progressing. And are we developing them along with hopefully that number one person that we're sending, right? And as that number decreases, you hit it. It's that is going to be a challenge. But I do believe that for us, the challenge really starts in our room. We worry about that more than probably anything else, because we want, you know, right now, our student athletes, they work so well together and they compete together. You know, we just got through having our banquet, and our, you know, our runner up for the award speaks on behalf of the winner. It's magic. I mean, the way that they treat one another and the way that they celebrate one another's successes is, it's just one of the things that makes this group so special.
What do you really attribute that culture to?
Well, I think it always starts with putting the right people in one room, and then spending time. You know, culture is not that everyone's happy. That's not culture. That's appeasement. And so, but culture is when people start holding one another accountable for their actions on and off the mat, where individuals think of the one standing with them sometimes as much, if not more, than themselves. When we go through our exit, you know, our end of year interviews with our athletes, we interview all of our athletes. And when we get to that, quite often, one of the things we have to say to them is, listen, when the oxygen mask drops, you put it on first and then start helping people. Don't just start helping people. And because they're good at that. And that's, I think that at the end of the day is really the essence of where the culture that you want. You put the right people that are very competitive, and these women are ultra competitive, and then you put them in an area where they can work together and advance and push forward together and compete with one another. And out of that, you're going to have champions come out. So, and I believe they know that, and they understand it enough that when it starts to get sideways, there's corrections made. And Coach Chun does a great job of leading through that.
And then kind of through these first 2 years of team competition, you know, obviously national championships, both seasons, national duels titles, both seasons. Is there anything in particular that you're most proud of from this group over these last 2 years, or these last two groups over these last 2 years?
Well, honestly, it goes back to the culture question. And, you know, watching them, we operate in a circle a lot. And we talk about that. They have each other's front and they have each other's back, and they stand shoulder to shoulder with one another. And then when they get ready to compete, especially at Carver, when they march down through the tunnel, they're locked arm in arm. No one taught them that. No one said, let's do this. They did that. But that's where who they are comes through. And I think that's probably my, you know, the moment that really strikes me the most is because that first time out of the regular tunnel, when they were locked arm in arm through and then they just walked down, it was very powerful. And it was powerful because you knew what was behind it. You know what I mean? Each one of them is going to go out and take care of business their best way. but they know that they are a part of a unit. And that gives them, I think, again, when we compete for a cause greater than we are, then we're better off. Okay. And we can produce more that way, both because of numbers, but also because of effort. So that's probably the thing that strikes me the most.
How does the kind of dynamic play out? I'll use 145 as an example, yeah, where okay, you have, you know, such a deep group,
right,
at that weight. You know, you've got Reese, the former national champion. You know, you've got Macy, the reigning national champion. You've got Ella. You can kind of go down the
list. All-American. Yes.
Yeah. So how kind of does that dynamic play out where you've got so many, you know, really competitive, you know, all of them probably think they're number one in that, but, you know, still, you know, kind of producing that culture?
Well, I won't use the names, but like, you know, a couple of days ago, we're in the room and I think it was last Friday maybe. And we're RTC practice and get done. And two of our women in and around that weight class are up talking to one another. And they talk for like 30, 40 minutes. I'm working through a couple of things with other athletes. And finally I walk over and I'm like, what's going on? What's up? You know, and they're like, oh, we're just kind of milling through trying to figure out how we learn more from Macy. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about this, you know? And it was awesome. It's like, you know, both of them are saying things like, coach, she is so heavy-handed. I mean, she just puts weight on you. And we're looking on how we can get in and those kind of things. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we really separate, like, we will watch film with any of our women, but what we won't do is we won't watch film when they wrestle each other, like in opens or tournaments. We won't do that. We just, we draw a line there and we'll watch any film you want and we'll break it down for you, but we won't do it when you're with a teammate. So it's not about that. That's my point, is that what they're doing is they're saying, I'm learning from her and I'm learning at a rate that is much higher than, I mean, first of all, again, if you were wrestling against Macy, you get to wrestle her, okay, let's say on a good year, you get to wrestle her two times, okay? These women know they get to wrestle her every day. And there's times where they can call her or she'll call them and say, I need a workout, I'm getting ready for Final X, and come in and go partner with them. And that's a 1 hour, 15 minute session with just her. And it starts that way. But then the same thing is happening on the next one, you know, in our lineup right now, which is Reese. And like you said, defending national champion, she does business the right way. And she turns around and she's learning there. And then others are talking about her, right? And so that's normally how they handle it. And that's what's been so great about this.
You were mentioning with Marlon Didi going from wrestler in your room to now, yeah, an opposing coach.
Right.
Did you see kind of the coaching aspect to her when she was in the room?
Absolutely. She is so good with other people. One of my favorite pictures is very early in this process. I mean, we're talking about we're probably early October 2 years ago. And we're over in Gable Complex and end of the night, get done with RTC practice. And I just snapped this picture of her talking to Lily Luff. Now, Lily was an incoming freshman at that time. And I mean, Lily is like totally dialed in on her right then. And that's an athlete. And it's an athlete that's only been with us like 2.5 months at that point. And so, you know, she's already sitting down with other athletes and going through stuff with them. And, you know, just recently, again, I was working with one athlete and all of a sudden I brought up Marlon's misdirection, the way that she looks one direction, comes back the other. And the other athlete, I mean, she immediately went, yeah, she knee pulled, right? And I was like, yes. So we're still using some of the lessons that she was teaching while she was wrestling here. And so, no, I, I, we, it's one of those kind of things, you know, people, she's got a great wrestling IQ, but she also makes it about the other person, and that makes her a great coach.
And then maybe this weekend isn't the best example because of a few other things going on, but you know, when she's competing, say in Louisville this weekend,
right.
Do you still have a chance to kind of keep an eye on what she's doing?
I watch film. Well, first of all, it would be silly for me not to watch film. I mean, like right now you can watch her. I know her well enough now that I kind of get a sense of what she's doing and why she's doing it and when she's doing it. And so I'm learning, right? Because I have a little bit more with her than I would another competitor. I watch a lot of competitors and I start figuring out a little bit of pattern here or there. But with her, I know a little bit more on the pattern. And so watching her, I pick up on what things she's changing, how she's adapting to things. And I love that part of it because it's one of the things that makes her such a strong athlete. I mean, she can wrestle first period one way and turn around and go back out second period and make full adjustments. And the best of our women can do that part, right? And so I love watching and learning from them. And it's not just her, it's others, but she's one of the easier ones because she was with us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. And then kind of going the other end of the age spectrum from, you know, already graduated to your youngest players. It seems like, you know, we talked about, or wrestlers, excuse me.
You're fine.
We were already talking about Naomi earlier, but it seems like that entire freshman class really stood out last year.
Well, one of the things I love talking about you with you on things is because you do your homework. And anyone that sees, I mean, our freshmen, what a great class. We were so fortunate to bring the right people in. I mean, at our banquet this year, four freshmen pulled major awards. And that's, I mean, on this team, you know, I mean, on a team like this, you could have no freshmen get anything. And that would just be everybody be like, well, you'll grow up and it will get better. No, right now they've done it. We're excited about our incoming freshmen. And if our incoming freshmen are anything like this group of freshmen, we're so fortunate then. We're very lucky.
What's kind of, you know, to the extent that you're able to talk about it, kind of what do you expect, you know, this incoming freshman class to be able to bring in 2025, 26 and beyond?
Wow. I mean, well, as you know, the bulk of our program, the founding group, we have this year coming up and next year. Then they walk. And they are such a phenomenal group. And they came in and started this program. And they were difference makers from day one. And they've only gotten better. And so this group coming in, I feel that they're very fortunate, but they are walking into a great room. And like you brought up earlier, unfortunately, we've got five less slots now that where you can go show yourself on a national stage. So what they do in open tournaments is going to really make a difference now. And so, but when you look at how many high school women are winning tournaments, open college tournaments, I mean, when you look at them, it's just like anymore, you look at almost anything that's across the board. I think because of, you know, I don't know all the different things that happen now on the college scene and all the different things that happen at the pros, there are people that step right into an area and they're ready to go. And we didn't see that even at the pro level. You didn't see that 10 years ago. I mean, you see people walk in right now and make a difference. And obviously, we were fortunate enough here at Iowa to be able to witness Caitlin Clark while she was in college throughout that time. And she was more than professional ready. And so when you have people like that, unfortunately, that's the new standard. we had this group of freshmen this year that walked into a great team and then made a difference for this team. And, you know, either fortunately or unfortunately, we're going to expect the same thing out of this next group. And I don't know. There's going to be some great fights.
With recruiting in general, you know, I'm assuming it's a challenge when you've got, you know, to use Kylie Naomi at 180, for example, where you've already got two really solid wrestlers.
Right.
I'm assuming incoming recruits are seeing that. How do you still, do you have any challenges in terms of filling some of those weights where you've already got a really strong one or really strong 1-2 or even a really strong 1-2 and 3?
We definitely have challenges. Our challenges are different than other teams, but other teams, I know sometimes they'll joke with me, but they think that we don't have any challenges, right? We've got several challenges that we've got to meet daily. I mean, our coaching staff, we met for like 4 hours yesterday over just two topics. And one of the biggest ones was over a recruit. And so there's a lot of work there. And what you have to do is you have to find the right one, right? You have to find the person where you can say out loud to them, you know who we have at the weight class? Yes. Okay. And you still want to come here? Yes. All right, here we go. You know, because we've watched them. We've met with them. Most time we bring them onto campus. We get to know them a little bit. We try to get to know their family. But at the end of the day, we're still trusting that they can walk into a really powerful room, hold their own, and then start laying down some foundational work that allows them to gain some stability. And if they can become stable and then secure in that room, then they can move towards success. And that's what we had out of our freshmen this year. And we're, you know, unfortunately for them, we're going to expect the same kind of thing out of this next group. And I'm amazed that you know, you can walk from high school straight in to not just any program, but a great program. And there's several great programs across the country. And when you can do that, I think that's the other thing that we were talking about right at the very beginning of our talk, about how much talent is out there, and that talent is now coming into college. And when they come in, they're not sitting back. They're not, well, I'm going to wait my turn. There is no wait to turn. They come in and try to impose their will. So it's pretty amazing.
Then one of the questions that kind of is always lingering there, in terms of, you know, as you're in the only Power Four women's wrestling office right now, kind of what would be your pitch to an athletic department that's considering women's wrestling, and what do you think it would add to the sport if, you know, whether that's somewhere else in the Big Ten or one of the other power conferences, if they were to make the investment in women's wrestling?
Well, the one thing that, because the sport is the fastest growing numerically right now, and because now it has become the 91st championship program or championships for the NCAA, and now the NAIA has their championships well established now. And so I think that, you know, it's one of those kind of things that I'm hoping that there's enough push to say, we want to join this group of people. You know, we want our university to be recognized, and we want to provide an opportunity for female wrestlers to get that same opportunity that's across the aisle from them. And the University of Iowa, because of their support of women's athletics in general, and then the absolute long-term success of the men's program here, has created a culture of wrestling throughout the state. And the state has such a rich tradition in about every school. Again, I believe Iowa is the only state that has won national titles at every single level of college wrestling. And so when you have that happen, you know, whether it's NAIA, JUCO, Division III, it doesn't matter. they've been successful. And we don't have a richly populated state. So the people that are here, they love this sport. And so that crossroads of women's athletic support that started in 1973 with you know, the Title IX part that we, our AD, Dr. Grant, co-authored some of that. Then you look at that, and then you mix that with the tradition that they've had in women's athletics here, and then you stick wrestling on it. It was just perfect for us, right? We hope that other universities see that same type of thing and say, yes, we could put another second side to this, and it would enrich our university, and it would enrich the opportunity of the students that are coming to work at our university and gain degrees.
And then obviously there are a lot of opportunities this past season for Iowa fans to see you guys in the state, whether that be at Carver in November and January, whether that be Soldier Salute in December, whether that be Nationals in Coralville in March. A couple in Des Moines area, depending on how loosely you describe Des Moines area. But regardless, kind of what would be your pitch to maybe Iowa fans tuning in who haven't made it to an Iowa women's wrestling meet yet?
Well, we were working on a deal today that I hope gets announced soon. I hope we can pull it off. But, you know, we are attempting to do an awful lot in this state because, first of all, I mean, again, a year ago, we set a world record for a women's duel. And that happened in a state that's not that populated. So when you look at it that way, I mean, the people here in Iowa, they have a love for this sport. I think it comes from how hard the people in the state work in general and their work ethic. And when they celebrate other people who work hard, and if they come to a duel, they're going to witness us working really hard. And so we hope that, you know, that they continue to support, you know, us the way that they have so far. And we will work harder than we are now to try to put even more opportunities for them to come watch great wrestling. On the women's side, they already have great wrestling on the men's side. I mean, the universities that's in this state are great, what history they have. And so what we hope to do is provide an opportunity, get out in the state, and we're going to try to do the same thing next year. We have a very regional schedule. If we can hold true with what we've got on plan right now, we have a very regional schedule like we've been carrying. So we're very, very lucky in that area as well.
Well, Gary, thanks for joining me.
Well, we appreciate you and your work, so thank you.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Not a Gazette subscriber? There's no better time to support local journalism. View our latest deals for print and digital offerings at thegazette.com/subscribe. Stay informed, be empowered. Subscribe to The Gazette today at thegazette.com/subscribe.